Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome into the Lions 24/7 podcast. It is the final episode of March, and boy, what a March it has been here in Happy Valley and across the country. Sean Fitz, Tyler Donahue with you. Landon Tengwall will be with you here on the show a little bit later. The newest Nittany Lions commit was kind enough to join us for a lengthy conversation about his decision, what he's bringing to the class, the leadership he plans to use, and also some of the names that he is targeting to join him here at Penn State long term. You'll hear that entire conversation a bit later. Normally, we'd be talking about approaching the blue-white game and the recruiting event that would be. Certainly not the case right now, and Penn State, like other programs, trying to piece things together from a recruiting standpoint. We mentioned last week James Franklin giving us a little bit of insight on how they've used technology and leaned on that to still get in front of the faces of different prospects. They got something interesting coming up they're going to be doing on Tuesday evening, and Sean, leading into that, it's another example of there's some desperation here, but there's also some evolution here. Some college football programs that are thinking bigger and streamlining certain things, they're going to be able to take advantage of the process, while others will be left by the wayside, I think.
We lost count last week when we had James Franklin on Zoom about how many times he talked about embracing the technology and that what that would mean for basically any program out there and how it would impact standard operating procedure going forward. From a recruiting standpoint, we talked last week about him those guys talking to players and position meetings on Zoom and all that kind of stuff, and they're limited what they can do in terms of hours and things like that. It's a lot of it falls on the strength staff, which actually typically is what happens in the off season, when they're on campus anyway. But recruiting's a little bit different. It's a dead period, and honestly, it's not that much different than February right now. It's really just you can't now. First off, for some people, just can't grasp. Dead period does not mean you can't talk to the kids. Dead period does not mean there's no contact whatsoever between both sides. It just means you can't go out. You can't see them from an evaluation standpoint. Coaches can't go on the road. Conversely, players can't visit campus. So that's what a dead period is. You can still talk to these guys. And really what they've tried to do is embrace every aspect of that. They do a lot of that through FaceTime with these prospects. Zoom has, of course, come into everybody's lives in the last couple of weeks, and they've when there's times that they want to get a couple of coaches on with a prospect, say a Tengwall, they want Phil Troutwine on there, they want Tyler Bowen on there, they want James Franklin on there. They sit down and they do a Zoom call with them. What they're doing, Tuesday night is pretty interesting. Tony Grimes' father, we'll call it a recruiting service. He's got his little thing where he goes out and he puts on camps, and he's got and I said little thing, it sounds like I downplay it, but he puts on camps and he tries to educate kids in terms of handling the recruiting process. James Franklin, basically the entire staff is going to be on a Zoom call this evening, on Tuesday evening, to talk about what they do, how they handle recruiting, and it's twofold. I mean, you can go out there, it's sort of like James Franklin's camp speech, and you and I have been to a lot of Penn State camps, and he closes the camps the same way. He gives his core values speech. He talks about the way that they do things, and I think a lot of what he's going to say tonight is going to come from that script. But on the other hand, it's about visibility. Right now, anything you can do to increase your visibility right now is key. They did one of these calls with Dre Bly, who's doing a fantastic job for North Carolina, especially in that area, especially with Tony Grimes as well. Anything you can do to get your name out right now on a bigger scale than what you're doing from FaceTime to FaceTime is obviously key if you're a college staff.
And we certainly appreciate the visibility covering this football program. Coming up this week, we will have a couple Zoom sessions with the offensive recruiting coordinator slash tight ends coach Tyler Bowen, and also Brent Pry, linebackers coach, longtime defensive coordinator. So should be some interesting content coming your way on lines247.com. And a second episode, I should mention, we're planning on going to two episodes per week. We'll see how long that takes us, but we think there's a need for it, and we think we can be able to produce quality content for you and get some interviews on here as we're all working our way through this process together. So
there's a demand for it. I don't know if there's a need for it, but I don't know what the hell we're going to talk about over the next couple of months, but we're going to try and give you guys as much as we can here. Going back to the Zooming stuff and the FaceTime stuff, the recruiting rules really haven't changed. Like I said, it's a typical dead period. You're just kind of sitting back and making contact. Penn State's schedule just overall hurt them. They had one visitor in March. Brock Bowers from the West Coast came in. Spring break kind of dictates everything here, and it dictated when spring practice was. Of course, that's Penn State's big opportunity to showcase what they have for unofficial visits on recruits. Then the blue-white game comes, and you start to get into official visits. You kind of just wipe that out, and it's unfortunate. And really, I mean, you're going to, I guess, split hairs about whether this was the right thing to do. In hindsight, of course, is 2020 in this situation, but really this is a situation nobody that saw coming. So I mean, there's really not much you can do in this situation, but they found themselves with challenges. A lot of schools were able to get prospects on in the first week of March. Penn State's schedule, the spring break, the first full weekend in March, there's no students on campus. You don't want to bring a kid to Penn State when there's no students on campus. Obviously, it's not ideal for what you're trying to sell. So really just kind of caught up in the situation there, and there's really not much they could have done about it. The challenges that they're finding now, and I've talked to some people in the program about what they're trying to do, how they're approaching it. You got to figure out the personality of the kid, and that's probably the toughest thing to do right now. Is you've got guys that want to talk, guys that want to FaceTime every day, guys that want to get in front of James Franklin and snapshot his face on the thing and then post it on Twitter talking to him. And then there's guys that just want some space. And you look at a guy like Nolan Rucci, per se. He's not really outgoing, do a ton of interviews, talk to a ton of guys. So you got to keep your space there. It's an interesting balance. And I think that's probably the toughest thing that the staff is going to have to undertake when they go about approaching prospects. You and I see it all the time. I mean, there's guys that want to, that are very easy to get interviews with. There's guys that just frankly don't want to talk to us. And I think that the coaches are finding that they need to have a plan for each kid, because not each kid is going to react the same way to this situation.
And then something that you and I don't necessarily deal with, certainly on a day-to-day basis, that Penn State coaches and support staff always need to be aware of, is what makes mom and dad tick. What's the story with the cousin who's always around? What's the story with why is grandma living in the house? And what the girl, the long-term girlfriend, and all these different names that you try to match to faces. So by the time they're making their official visits or getting to campus as a commit, or down to the wire and making that last trip to the school before they reach a decision, that it's seamless and there's not like breaking of ice that needs to happen. I spent a few years hosting these kind of official visits and stuff, and it goes a lot longer when you already have a little bit of background with mom and dad at the very least, or whoever's accompanying them to campus, rather than trying to play catch up over the course of 48 hours and a weekend on campus. It can make things tricky. It can make things awkward. So, that's all part of it. They're losing that ability to lay a lot of that foundation with the parents, with the families, and with the recruits themselves, because as much as you can accomplish over the phone, it's not quite like being in the same room and being able to really walk someone or drive them around in a cart on campus and have that intimate experience that is so desired by both the staff and the player in the process.
And so much of this process from a Penn State perspective is based around those visits and just getting those guys to campus. They've done a nice job, staying ahead a couple of classes and getting guys on campus. Not having this spring is going to hurt. I mean, you take a look at where Penn State you know, has sort of made their classes, and you go back to the blue-white game every year, and that's not necessarily a 2021 kid that was going to end up committing, but a 2022 or 23 or something like that down the line, you know, usually pops up at a blue-white game at maybe a Lash Bash or a whiteout game. So it's these opportunities that you're losing that might hurt you in the future. I don't think it's going to have a tremendous impact in that regard on 21. Of course, it's going to have it's going to have an impact on how this class is shaped and how things go. I mean, you might see a trend nationwide where, you know, all of a sudden you see guys staying closer to home because of something like this. But it is what it is. You're going to have to deal with it. And Penn State, I think, is doing a pretty decent job. The key here is they need to have a plan in place when they hit the ground running. They still have official visits scheduled for the summer. They don't know if they're going to be able to host them or not. I don't get the sense there's a ton of optimism that's going to happen. But at the same time, I mean, you want to know where you're going heading into the into whenever you get back, basically. Speaking of plans, running back recruiting kind of thrown on its head once again. Evan Pryor committed to Ohio State a couple of weeks ago. Trevion Henderson, fantastic player out of Virginia, committed to the Buckeyes late last week, I believe. And then the guy that I think a lot of people turned to, had that top six last week, Brandon Campbell out of Texas, commits to USC over the weekend. Now all of a sudden Penn State's in a situation where, you know, they're still looking for a running back, and I don't think you panic yet. I think that you keep chipping away, and I think there might be some residual effects based on those decisions, specifically Pryor's and Henderson's, that could, you know, really benefit Penn State with a couple of their targets.
Yeah, Buckeyes continue to boost that class. They've been on the war path, and Brandon Campbell, that escalated quickly. He put out the top six, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, told Steve Wiltfong shortly thereafter that Penn State was one of three schools standing out, along with USC and LSU, and all of a sudden he's committed to the Trojans without taking any visits, of course, to get to that point. Still wonder if a kid like this committing in these circumstances. I think we're going to see a lot of committed players pursuing visits elsewhere, and we've talked about in the past how that's something that Franklin doesn't want his commits doing, but I just think across college football, committed players are going to want to make visits because they haven't been able to and won't be able to for an extended period of time. So something to monitor there. So what names pop up? You know, speaking of top lists, it was, I believe, a top 10, so hard to delve into it too much, but Corey Kiner out of Cincinnati. Penn State, an interesting note here with Thad Franklin out of Chaminade Madonna, committed to the Miami Hurricanes down there in South Florida. Got offered a basketball scholarship, a spot on the roster in the last few days after already being on Penn State's football radar. Not something that I've really seen, I think, covering this recruiting beat. What do you make of that, Sean?
Well, it kind of makes sense. I mean, if you're Pat Chambers, it doesn't cost you a scholarship if you bring a guy that's playing football on. We kind of saw that with Mac Hippenhammer and the baseball team. But it's an interesting push. Jaywan Sider has been after Thad Franklin for a long time. This is a guy, he's committed to Miami, but I've always seen him as a guy that, you know, could potentially pop up on campus because of the relationships, especially at Chaminade Madonna, where John Dunmore is from. Braylon Brown's a wide receiver there that you know, I think Penn State's in the lead for if they choose to press on that one. Very well respected at Chaminade Madonna. I would not be shocked to see Thad Franklin pop up. He has said otherwise, but it's Florida, man. I mean, we've covered this a bunch. A really interesting name that I don't think that Penn State, you know, is in at this point right now, but things could change. Donovan Edwards out of Michigan. He came and visited early in the process. He's very high on Ohio State, high on Michigan. Georgia is a big one for him. But what's interesting to me, and Alan True came onto our board and talked about this I don't even know what day it is, man. This thing has got me all turned around.
I just know it's March. It's still March.
Yeah, it's still March, and Alan was on our board at some point in the last 30 days or the last 3 days talking about Donovan Edwards. He was, you know, a pretty big Ohio State lean, it seemed like. Now all of a sudden they take Evan Pryor, they take Trevion Henderson, and now, you know, maybe not so sure. Michigan is seen as, I don't want to call him the fallback, but Michigan is seen as the school that everybody looks to now as the potential favorite, but he really liked Georgia. That's a long way away. An interesting thing that True said was there's some schools that, you know, maybe have slightly better running back tradition or recent running back tradition than Michigan, maybe a Penn State, maybe a Notre Dame that could get involved in this. He's got familiarity with the staff. Of course, Penn State's been recruiting him for a long, long time. And he's got other guys that have picked up offers at his school and have visited Penn State. So I'll be interesting to see if anything comes of Donovan Edwards. I think, you know, obviously right now there's a long way to go from a Penn State standpoint, but I think that's an interesting name. Mentioned Thad Franklin. Florida, of course, is still Florida. Amari Daniels put Penn State in his top four, I believe it was, a couple of weeks ago. He's still a Texas A&M lean. Kachavius Getter is out there as well. And there's a bunch of guys that are in Florida because Florida's crazy. So running back still, you know, it's there's always a plan, obviously, with Jawan Sider. But with three guys off the board, it's kind of looking a little bit different than it did a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you still strike an optimistic tone when you talk about this room, where it is now, where it is in 2021. They'll find somebody. I'd be curious to see how it gets dictated from here. By the way, going back to a Michigan player leaving Michigan, Caleb Tiernan, who put Penn State in his top four, he committed to Northwestern, a major crystal ball shift late on 24/7 Sports leading up to that decision. I think this time last week he was 100% picked to end up with the Wolverines, another offensive lineman that Penn State had on their board as they're working through things. Landon Tengwall, of course, a big pickup, but Caleb Tiernan heading elsewhere as of now within the conference. A couple new offers to report in the 2021 class as John Scott Jr. continues to help shape out their target board at defensive line. Both of these in Virginia. Travion Stevenson, Brian Doan had a write-up on him on the site this week, a kid who has really exploded onto the scene in March. And then additionally, George Wilson. Sean, we've seen offers scattered across Virginia. We've seen the defensive line board in 2021 kind of blow up here in the past four, five, 6 weeks. It's going to be interesting to see where that class goes because to this point, we're not really throwing out a ton of names that seem like obvious eventual Nittany Lions.
No doubt, no doubt. Defensive end is a huge priority for the staff in terms of numbers. They certainly need numbers there. Took a lot of tackles last year, and that's a focus in the region. And really, the region is kind of more solid than strong. So I'm not really sure where you're going with that. George Wilson's a guy that I've been watching for a while at Green Run. Tall, lanky, maybe a little bit bigger than Cam Brown was when he was in high school, but that's the same kind of body type they've got. So just all kinds of length. And Travion Stevenson, when you talk to Travion Stevenson about Penn State, he just flat out lights up. There's some connections there to Joe Johnson in that region. And really, honestly, I feel like he's a guy that if, you know, Penn State decides to push and pursue heavily, that I think ends up in this class. And what I mean by that is you've got an opportunity right now where you can offer guys and they can't visit. I mean, really, there's not much you can do about it until they can get on campus. Travion Stevenson, you know, he's listed at 6'5". He looks long in the film, but, you know, is he more like 6'3"? You don't know. And that's where you're seeing a lot of these guys' offer lists sort of blow up at this time of the year. And really, there's not a ton they can act on right now. So I just think it's a really interesting dynamic where coaching staffs, you're not really sure where they stand on guys or where they're at on the board just simply because they can't get them on campus. That's a big part of recruiting that's often overlooked. You get them on campus, you check out how they look, how they're built, you know, how they can add weight, and you're sort of projecting from that angle in the next couple of years. And it's a really interesting dynamic that completely goes away. Building on that, and you've got an opportunity, or you've got a situation here where you've got a guy like Kirk Shiraka, who is a new offensive coordinator, new quarterbacks coach. You know, he can't go out and see quarterbacks this spring on the evaluation period because that's pretty much a wash right now. Typically, he would go out and pick and choose which quarterbacks he would want to see throw and work out, you know, all throughout the spring. Now he can't do that. Camps are maybe in jeopardy right now. So when it comes to quarterbacks, I mean, it's tough, especially since he was not here last camp season, so he could see those guys throw. Speaking of quarterbacks, a new offer in state 2022. Penn State's offered three quarterbacks in Pennsylvania since James Franklin took over in 2014. And one of those, Kyle McCord, is committed to Ohio State, is actually from New Jersey, that plays in St. Joe's Prep in Philly. So just two quarterbacks in Pennsylvania that they've offered. Bo Pribula out of Central York. is he an athlete? Is he a quarterback? I don't know. I know he's a heck of an athlete, especially as a sophomore. Ran a 4.6 40 last year at camp, a 4.1 shuttle, which is phenomenal as a sophomore for any position, let alone quarterback. Had a good camp showing. Also worked out a little bit at tight end at the wideout camp last year. I think that was more numbers based because there were only two tight ends at the wideout camp last year. But a really intriguing offer and really an immediate crystal ball from you and I.
Yeah, and Brian Doan jumped in there as well. Quick reaction to that offer. And after we both caught up with him, I spent a significant time Saturday morning speaking with Bo on the phone and for a story that's up on the site. And this is a kid who, you know, he posted a picture when he got that offer of him in a Nittany Lions uniform, the eye black, the helmet, from a Halloween years ago. But he said he used to throw that uniform on all the time just to play football with friends in the backyard. You know, in this household, fall Saturdays, we're often sitting around the TV watching Penn State play, and suddenly they had James Franklin on FaceTime getting passed around the living room. Sister, brother, mom, dad all got a chance to share in that conversation. What a cool moment for him that came on Friday. That was quickly followed up by a FaceTime session with Kirk Sciarrocca. And to your point, Sciarrocca did said, once things return to some normalcy, he wants to see, he's making it a priority to see this kid throw in person and get a better evaluation of him. But they did not hesitate on the offer here. It is as a quarterback. It's his third Power 5 offer. He's been on the radar as an athlete since his freshman year, as you said, for Penn State, for other schools. Older brother is a quarterback at Delaware. The one year he did not play quarterback in his entire football career was as a freshman at York Central, and that's because his brother was the quarterback. And he was playing wide receiver. He was playing safety. He will still play safety here moving ahead, but missed a couple games last year with a sprained AC joint in his shoulder. That impacted his stats a bit. They also were pretty conservative. They ran the ball a lot. They built a lot of large leads. They won 7 of their games by 5-plus touchdowns. So you look at the stats, you don't see an automatic star in the making, but he says they're switching to a new coaching staff. They got an air raid offense this year. He said he's going to be more of a trigger man than a ball protector in 2020, and I'm really curious to see how that pans out for him, because to have a kid in the area like this, you've mentioned, I think it was McElwain and Jerkovic were the only two other guys who are in Pennsylvania who got the offer since Franklin arrived, so they both ended up elsewhere. And with Prabula, you know, man, it's a long way to go until he'll actually get to a college campus. But as of right now, the way things are tracking, you like Penn State's shot here. You like the way he feels about Franklin and company. And Franklin made it a point to compare him to McSorley, said after watching his film. Now, I think that's more about maybe his improvisational style, his ability to be an athlete who can impact football games in different positions. Of course, McSorley initially recruited by Franklin at Vanderbilt as a safety, as an athlete. But let's not get it twisted. Different athletes here. Prabula, already a couple inches taller than Trace McSorley halfway through high school. I think he'll probably weigh more than NFL Trace McSorley weighs by the start of his junior year of high school. So we're talking about a 6'2", 195-pound sophomore.
Yeah, and first off, apologies to our Central York people. Central York, not York Central. You have to remember Tyler's from New Jersey, so anything Central doesn't exist to him, so he's still learning. So,
which is ironic because I'm from Middle Township, New Jersey. Thanks, Sean.
Wow, yeah. You kind of ruined the joke, but okay. First York area offer since Kyle Bobletz. That's been a long, long time. So there aren't a ton of guys that come out of that area, especially on a Penn State level. But really, I mean, it's a very pro Penn State area. So you can see why the crystal balls popped up right away. Saw him at team camp last year. I was watching actually my old high school against Wyatt Millam's Spring Valley team, and they were on the field behind me. I was talking to another coach. A high school coach, he was talking about Prabula. There's a lot to like there, and he's still got work to do as a passer, no doubt about it. But this is a kid that you take as an athlete all day, every day. He reminds me of one of those guys that you would bring in the 80s and 90s that was a high school quarterback, and you just weren't sure where he was going to end up. And I still think he can play quarterback at the next level, but, you know, is he a linebacker? Is he an H-back? Is he somebody that can give you, he's just going to provide value to your football team. And I like Prabula a lot for that. From that measure, have talked to Brian Doan about him a bunch over the last couple of months. Really, still not sure where he stands as a passer, which obviously he's a 84 3-star by 24/7 Sports. So that'll be something that we evaluate moving forward as a service here. That's about it. Finally, one more
this story that
important,
I wrote.
Sean. This is important.
This is very important.
Sebastian Costantini, fresh redshirt freshman kicker, has moved to corner. I wrote about it last week. It's very interesting to me because it's one of those things, obviously, you don't see every day. But this kid came in last year, the last summer, and I got some wind of some testing numbers. I'm like, are we sure this kid's a kicker? And you look deeper into what he brought to the table. Really a strong track athlete, a decathlete, came in and ran, a pretty good, I think a 4.1 shuttle. He had over a 10-foot broad and a 37-inch vertical jump. You don't get those kind of numbers from walk-ons, and you especially don't get those kind of numbers for walk-on kickers. So Penn State decided to move him to cornerback, which, you know, is probably the least likely place that you expect to see a kicker move. Really what you're looking at, with Costantini is, number one, a good story. Number two, can he develop into a guy like a Drew Hartlob, be a special teams gunner, be a guy that you can turn to, you know, eventually to contribute to your special teams in a couple of years. But like I said, most of all, it's a great story.
And you've got that story up on 24/7 Sports. We've got a bunch going on right now on Lions 24/7. Plenty more to come your way in the next 2 days. By the way, we're going to get to Landon Tengwall right now. Before we do, Sean, we'll sign off here and let Landon take us out. Like I said, we'll be back with a second episode. We got Pry coming up, Bowen coming up. Always good to hear from the coaches. Anything else to add to this conversation?
Nope, that's pretty much it. I think we're going to try and see you later this week, provided our families give us the opportunity to do so. And yeah, it's great to have you guys listening and following along. Check us out. It's a free VIP day on 24/7 Sports. What that means, Tyler and I will find out at some point. I'm not sure, but you can check us out. Check out what we do on a day-to-day basis for our VIP subscribers. We encourage you to do so.
All right, folks. Now, here's Landon Tengwall. Enjoy the conversation.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
A big addition, a long-awaited addition, came last Thursday from Landon Tengwall committing to Penn State, one that we've been talking about for a while here on the podcast. I've gotten to know Landon a bit over the last few years because he has been on the radar for a long time with Penn State. He was their first offensive lineman offered way back in the winter of his freshman year. And now here we are. He's moving on towards senior season. Knock on wood. We got football coming up here and everybody back on the field. But Landon, like us, you are home, but you gave everybody a bit of a reason to celebrate, especially your family announcing your commitment. Congratulations on reaching that decision.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This has been a long time coming, as I said, a decision for you, whether it was Penn State, Notre Dame, another school. Many have been involved for a couple of years. Why was the timing right for you here toward the end of March 2020?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I knew probably a couple months ago that I wanted to come to Penn State. And really, I wanted to take the trips to Notre Dame, get the experience, and, you know, maybe something could have happened. But I knew I wanted to come to Penn State, and I didn't know how long this was going to go on for. So, you know, if this thing was going to, you know, delay, you know, normal life till July or August, you know, I wasn't going to wait that long to commit because I knew what I wanted. So, you know, I was just ready to commit.
Was there a particular moment where it became clear to you that Penn State was the choice, or was it just a gradual development of that feeling?
No, I think it was definitely gradual. I mean, just getting to know the coaches more and more. I mean, I'm so close with so many of them. You know, Coach Bowen, I think we're coming up on 4 years of me knowing Coach Bowen. You know, even Coach Troutman, I've known him for about 6 months. But, you know, we have a great relationship. We talk almost every day. We FaceTime. You know, I'll send him clips of my technique. You know, he'll critique it. He'll send me good drills to work on. So, you know, I've just built that relationship. So that's helped a lot.
I want to talk about each of the coaches you mentioned in a second, but when did you actually inform the staff that you were going to be a member of this Penn State recruiting class?
Let's see. So it happened on Thursday. So it was, I think I did it exactly a week before I decided, because I hit up Rivals and I told them that, you know, I was ready to do it. And then, you know, I was like, I can do it. I want to do it as soon as possible. And they texted me back and they were like, how's Wednesday? And we looked on Amazon. I couldn't get the hats in time. So, we had to actually postpone until Thursday. But, yeah, I was ready to just do it as soon as possible.
Another note for Amazon. Amazon's been doing a lot of business over the last couple of weeks, including your Penn State hat. So what was the reaction from Penn State coaches? I know it's a little tricky for them too, because they're not all in one office right now either.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I called four or five coaches. Like I said, I'm close with so many of the coaches on the staff because I've known them for so long. You know, everybody, every time I told them, you know, a little scream, a little celebration. So that was real cool. But, you know, I was hoping the original plan was for me to commit, the Thursday or the Wednesday right before the spring game. And then, you know, obviously I was going to come up and, you know, be the new commit. It was going to be great. So, you know, that sucks a little bit not to have that, but yeah, it was good. You know, everybody was very happy.
Yeah, I think I speak on behalf of everyone here in State College, Landon. I wish we were going to see you at Beaver Stadium in April. I wish we were going to see anybody at Beaver Stadium in April. You bring up a good point, though, there, because you commit with that timing. You get to campus. You're proudly wearing the Penn State gear. You're representing the class. I know for you, just based off your personality, that becoming a class leader to whichever program you committed to is going to be a priority for you. How much ownership do you take off immediately in trying to build this thing out for the 2021 class?
Yeah, I think a lot. You know, I'm already talking to, you know, Caleb Tyler, trying to make graphics for, you know, certain guys, you know, come up with different ideas, you know, texting a lot of different guys already. You know, I've already been on a lot of phone. I've probably been on, you know, upwards of like 10 phone calls with other recruits, just talking to them, you know, starting to get to know guys better. And then, of course, you know, talking to the guys in the DMV that I'm already really close with, you know, trying to get them to come. So, you know, it's definitely something I'm going to pride myself on, trying to build a, you know, a really good class around me.
I saw in speaking with Tom Loy at 24/7, you mentioned a few of those names specifically. Before we talk about those guys on your target board, what kind of guys are you looking for? The characteristics, the traits that you think you want to assemble moving forward and eventually moving on to Happy Valley?
You just got to find hard workers. That's where it starts at. You know, you can't have any slackers. You got to have guys that are going to want to push each other, really. I feel like that's the main thing. I know everything else will come along with, you know, Coach Galt in the weight room and the coaches on the field. So, obviously we're looking for, you know, guys that are skilled, but it's definitely more work ethic is what I'm looking for.
Now, specifically, who are players that you have on that phone list and you're going to make sure you're doing the peer recruiting thing with them routinely?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys. I'm talking, you know, I talk to Tristan all the time, Nolan, you know, I talked to Caleb Williams, Dante. I mean, there's a ton of guys. Aaron from up in Canada. I mean, there's a ton of guys, and I have to pull out the list. But you know, I'm talking like I said, up more than 10 guys. So, you know, definitely a role I'm trying to play for Penn State.
I want to focus on you in just a second, but just playing off of that list, some names that come to mind. Dante Thornton was on board very early with the Penn State class. As a sophomore, he decided and took a responsible approach in saying, look, I wasn't ready. I got to take a step back. What do you think? I mean, is there a legitimate chance that he could circle back and end up in this class with you?
Yeah. I mean, I probably think there's a better chance than not that he comes back. I mean, he's made it pretty clear. I think he's told a couple people that he's probably not going to commit until the All-American game. So, I mean, what's that, you know, January? So we're looking, what is that, about eight, you know, 8-9 months. So, I mean, we got a little while until he commits. But yeah, I think ultimately, obviously I'm hoping, and I think he'll come back. I think Penn State's home for him.
Caleb Williams is a name that pops up, and I think some Penn State fans, and they're gonna, you already know this, everybody is always watching on Twitter. They see, oh my gosh, is he beefing with Caleb Williams? You know, there's a rivalry there. Is this gonna ruin our chances? Can you clear the air a little bit? Cause you mentioned Caleb as a guy you clearly want on board with you.
Yeah, no, me and Caleb, we're friends. I mean, obviously, anybody that knows anything about good counsel in Gonzaga, nobody likes each other. So it's rare that me and Caleb are even friends, but no, we're friends. You know, we trained at the same facility before. You know, I've been to parties with the guy. I mean, we're definitely friends. But like I said, there's always that, you know, that rivalry between good counsel and Gonzaga. So it definitely comes out. But no, me and Caleb, you know, we're close. I'm recruiting him.
The label of the top quarterback in the country. He's in the neighborhood for you. He's a guy you'd like to keep upright for the next few years. What makes him that franchise kind of quarterback? You kind of know his personality a bit. Why is he viewed in that light?
Yeah, no, I mean, he's definitely a leader. I mean, I've seen him obviously I've played him, I think, 3 or 4 times now. You know, I've seen what he can do. You know, he's probably the most athletic quarterback I've seen in person. You know, the stuff that he can do. I was actually up at Penn State when they played DeMatha. I'm sure everybody's seen the clip where he went about 100 yards, you know, actually ran probably about 150 yards. I'm sure, you know, everybody knows what play I'm talking about, but I mean, he's got crazy athleticism. And like I said, you know, he's definitely a leader. It's going to be, it'd be great to have him.
I know the play you're talking about. And when I write something up on this, I will link out to it. So the other folks do as well. You've been up to Penn State more than any other program. In what ways has Penn State been extremely consistent going back to before your freshman year in high school to where you are now?
I mean, yeah, they've just stayed on me, you know, the whole time. They've done a great job, you know, 3 straight years, you know, Coach Bowen, you know, even Coach Limegrove when he was there, Coach Franklin, just always, you know, checking up on me, making sure I'm doing well, my family's doing well. So that, I feel like that was big. You know, it really made them feel like, you know, it was a family environment there. They definitely would hit me up more than other schools. So I feel like that, you know, including Notre Dame. So I feel like that definitely helped a lot. They're very well-rounded in the recruiting department.
And then you've also had a chance to see how they have adapted and evolved, because it is, you know, a lot of coaching change over those 2 years. The team has gone through different highs, different lows. Maybe what are some noticeable ways you've seen them develop over these past 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, so I've been watching them for a while. So, you know, the freshmen that when I first started watching, the freshmen that first came in, you know, they're almost getting ready to graduate here in a little while. So, you know, I've seen a lot of the team come in. And, you know, it's been great to see. I mean, last year, I mean, they were really close, you know, a couple of different plays go, you know, go opposite way. You know, they're Big Ten champions. So, you know, it's just going to take a couple players and, you know, it's already a great culture there, but it's going to take a couple players to just push it a little bit more. And hopefully I'm one of those players.
One area on the field that folks have wondered, maybe is this a spot where I can push Penn State to being a college football playoff, college football championship contender, the offensive line. They're bringing back 5 guys with starting experience. But moving ahead, you mentioned some big names there. Tristan Lee, Nolan Rucci. They're in that conversation with you as top linemen across the country. You've got Nate Bruce on board. I saw you already got the graphic up with him on social media. Yeah. What is your vision for this offensive line class?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I'm not exactly sure how many guys we're trying to bring in. But, you know, if we can get me and, you know, me, Nate, and a couple other guys, you know, whether that be Tristan or Nolan or, you know, there's a couple other guys that we're looking at that me and Coach Trout and, you know, Coach Franklin, we really want on board. You know, I feel like Coach Trout can coach anybody up. I mean, you look at him, you look at his record at Boston College, you know, all 5 of his offensive linemen from last year were either first or second team all ACC. So, I mean, that says a lot about him. So, I mean, I feel like obviously if we get, you know, high-level players, that's big. But I think Coach Trout can he can really coach them up.
You're a guy who really respects the fundamentals. You respect what guys bring to the drills and camps. I know that. When you see a Tristan Lee, a guy who, you know, a year or so ago, you're thinking he's more of a basketball player moving towards football. Now he is considered, you know, one of the best in the country at what he does in the football field. Can you kind of break down his game for me a bit? Because I know you two have become pretty close. What makes Tristan Lee a top prospect?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to him a lot. I've seen a lot of clips of him, you know, watch his tape. I mean, super athletic. I mean, that's number one. You know, we've talked for a while. We actually met, the first time we met was at the Under Armour camp last year. the regional. But I mean, before that, we talked a lot, you know, on Snapchat and Twitter and stuff. So, you know, we're really close. I mean, he's just a great player, you know, and he finishes too. I mean, that's what you want to see in an offensive lineman. I think I saw an interview that someone talked to Coach Franklin. He said he wants to, you know, he wants mean offensive linemen. So, you know, Tristan's definitely that as well.
Coach Matt Limegrover, I don't want to go through this whole conversation without mentioning him because he was in there early with you. It's tough. And look, you've been involved with what, 30, 40 schools. You've seen coaches come and go. How did Penn State handle that transition for you? You had mentioned, oh, maybe Tyler Bowen moves over to the offensive line spot. They end up with Troutwine. But how did you work your way through that spot with Penn State and with Coach Limegrover, considering your history went all the way back to what, 2017?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, actually, so right when I got down to Future 50 this winter, we had, you know, there was media day as soon as we got down there. And that Coach Bowen actually called me on my way to the hotel for the interviews. And he let me know. So obviously, like, the news just broke, and I told the reporters, I mean, I knew Coach Franklin was going to find the right guy, whether it be Coach Bowen or someone else within, or, you know, any coach. So I you know, I had faith in him the whole time. And obviously, I ended up loving the coach that he picked, and Coach Troutwine. So, and like I said, I mean, he's just a great coach. I should say he's going to coach me up. He's going to coach everybody else up. So I'm excited to get to work with him.
When Troutwine first connected with you, what was his initial message? And what's kind of been the consistent theme in those conversations for these past few months?
Yeah, I mean, he called me like 30 minutes after he got the job when the news broke, like on Twitter. He called me right away. I think I was one of his first calls. And honestly, we've talked so much. It's not even, it's so casual now. Like, obviously we'll talk a lot of football, but it'll be about a lot about life too. So, I mean, we talk, you know, everything, you know, food, you know, family, sports, all that good stuff. So, I feel like we really start to build, you know, an actual relationship outside of football as well.
Folks need to hear about your story, this incredible growth spurt that you went through. Because people are going to see you get to campus, and they see you right now, and they see the physical measurements, and they think this kid's always been a lineman. He's always been the big guy. You played wide receiver, if my memory serves correctly, in middle school. Right. And then all of a sudden, your body completely changed on you like a monster in Space Jam or something like that. It was a very rapid process. Can you give us the whole details? Because I remember you going over this a few years back, and it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, so eighth grade fall, I was probably 6'3", but I was about 180, 185. And, you know, me and my dad talked, and we knew I wanted to play offensive line. We knew that was, you know, where my money was going to be made at, you know, getting a college, scholarship. So, you know, I dedicated myself and my family to, you know, making sure I'm putting on, you know, a lot of weight and a good weight. You know, one thing that really helped is my middle school at the time, right after the football season, so I decided to do this. My middle school at the time didn't start until about 9:15. So I was able to work out in the morning, you know, eat a great, you know, great breakfast, and then come home. I actually started working out two times a day, right after the fall season in eighth grade. And, you know, I got, you know, protein powder. I was eating a ton of peanut butter, eggs, all that good stuff. So in about 5-6 months, I played spring ball for St. Vincent Pilate, you know, their eighth grade spring ball team. That's where I went my freshman year. And I was about, you know, 265, 270. So it was probably 90 pounds. But it was pretty good weight. Obviously it wasn't the best weight. I feel like I'm at the best I've ever been. And when I was just up at Penn State, I was in a bod pod, and, you know, it measures your body fat percentage. I think it was about 24% at about 305 pounds, which Coach Gout said is really good. I said, you know, obviously I want to keep improving, but that's actually a really good number, he said. But yeah, it was quite the journey to put on that weight. But the idea was, you know, the sooner I put on that weight, the longer I play at that weight, and, you know, the more used to it I am. You know, there's guys coming into college having to put on, you know, 20, 30 pounds, and, you know, they're sitting there freshman year in college still trying to get used to the weight. Well, you know, I've basically been around this weight class, you know, for 4 or 5 years now. Well, you know, once I get to college, so that definitely, you know, it gives me a up on other guys.
So between the last game of middle school and the first game of high school, you essentially added, you know, maybe another eighth grader. I'm sure you went to school with some kids who weighed as much as you gained during that course. But I want the details because mom and dad always get a lot of credit because they're the ones who foot the grocery bills and cross the country. When I hear about these growth spurts, I always got to ask, what was needing to be replenished in that fridge over and over? What was your go-to? You mentioned peanut butter. How much peanut butter?
A lot. I mean, I still, to this day, we buy huge jars of it. Still, we just go to Walmart. It's like these big tubs. What is it? Like, you know, what is it? Like 2 pounds? It's a lot. And, you know, I go through them fast. But, even back then, it was a ton of eggs. That was easily, needing to be replaced, you know, once a week at least. Probably quicker. Cause I normally could do about 4 or 5 eggs a meal. I would do a lot of bagels. I would do a lot of peanut butter bagels. That'd be good. But I would even, after work, yeah, I would get a lot of steak, ham and roast beef. Trying to think what else. It was a lot of food.
4 pounds.
Yeah, 4 pounds. We get 4 pounds of, it's a 4 pound jar of peanut butter, and I go through it in about, you know, a week or two. It doesn't take me long. And even after my workouts, I would take a spoon and I would eat, straight peanut butter. So that was my go-to, really, after the workouts, the spoon with the peanut butter.
My goodness. Without you get to this point, you're very comfortable at this size now. You're working on your game. What are the biggest things on your list going from junior year to senior year? And do you know when you're getting to campus at Penn State? I know life in general is kind of on hold right now. Do you have early graduation ambitions? Are you going to be here next summer? How does that work out for you?
Yeah, unfortunately, the WCAC, you know, one of the best conferences in high school sports, for some reason, does not allow early enrollees. I think they need to fix that. They've been pretty harsh about it, though. But, you know, so you've seen some guys like Marshawn Lloyd, you know, he went to public school for a couple of weeks to get out early. But, you know, it is what it is. So I'll be there, late May. So it's not the end of the world. And then as far, I don't know if you meant now, but, you know, I'll be up the first weekend I can, you know, this spring/, you know, hopefully not too late into the summer.
To be determined, like everything else right now. And then on the field, what are you working on? What's the biggest thing we're going to see maybe in terms of a forward stride from you on senior film? And I'm just going to safely assume we're going to see football this fall. We're going to see you play football this fall. So with that optimistic outlook, what are we going to see from you?
Yeah, something I was really trying to improve on is my quickness and my speed. Obviously, I was working with a speed coach, and obviously that was for a lot of the combines and the camps that, you know, may not happen. So that might have been, you know, all for naught. But, you know, the quickness part, definitely, I think we'll come into my game this year. I was working on the speed. We were running laser times, and I actually, once I got, you know, I got sub five by 4.98. So, you know, that was great to see. You know, a lot of people, and I've worked a lot on my technique, my 40 technique and all that stuff. I know this doesn't really equate, you know, to actual football, but, you know, it's something big, you know, a lot of athletes have to work on. You know, so a lot of people, you know, they question, you know, my mobility, flexibility, my speed, you know, compare me to other guys, you know, that are a lot, you know, smaller than me and, you know, call me a guard. And, you know, it is what it is. I want to be able to play everywhere, but, you know, I want to show people that, you know, I can play any position, you know. So that's really something I'm working on, just getting quicker, faster.
I guess the opinion that matters most is Phil Troutwine, Kirk Shiraka, and James Franklin. Where do they see you on the football field?
Yeah, I've talked to Coach Trout about it, and it's really wherever I can get, as, you know, whatever spot opens up, I want to be able to play. Whether that's, he said he's recruiting me because he thinks I can play, you know, all 5 positions. And, you know, I mean, that's the goal as an offensive lineman. You want to be able to play all 5. You want to be versatile. You know, there's guys that make their money in the league that way, that, you know, they're able to just get plugged in any, you know, with an injury. You know, I'm a big Steelers fan. I think we have a couple players that, you know, can play all 5, that, because I follow them very closely, can play all 5. And I've seen us keep them around for, you know, 5-6 years just because they're so versatile. That's definitely big to be able to play any position on the offensive line.
Well, Landon, we'll be catching up with you throughout this process. One more thing to throw your way here. It's not a question. It's the microphone is yours. A lot of folks listening out there who are excited about your commitment, let them know what they're getting from you and let them know what your plans are for this 2020 recruiting class.
Yeah. I mean, you're just going to see, a hard worker. I definitely have a voice. I mean, you'll see me on Twitter and, you know, I'm definitely a little bit of a clown, but, a hard worker that's, always going to, push his teammates, push myself. Like I said, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for guys in this class, that I'm recruiting with me, to help push me as well. But I'm just going to, keep working, keep talking to all these guys I'm talking to and, hopefully get them to come to Penn State.
You may play that clown role a little bit, but I think you do a good job of being on clown patrol and keeping people in check. So I always appreciate that when I follow your Twitter stuff. But Landon, okay. Thank you. Hang in there down home. Keep up the good work and look forward to seeing you in person sooner rather than later.
Definitely. Thank you very much. Stay safe.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.